DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day.
Damn, it's already here.
Where's our Camelot? Where's he at? There he is. Good morning to you. Hopefully everybody's Wednesday's off to a great start. Good morning, Randy.
What's happening, man? Damn, we are. That's the thing about
football season.
Yep. It comes and goes.
I know.
Damn, it's already Wednesday. As new second week of the NFL, as they get ready for a Sunday night game, how do you approach Sunday night games? Because you got Wade Ford and everything.
Yeah.
Because I know me, because it's like, that's why I like the Falcons play at 1 o'clock. I can get the game out the way and just move them. But the whole day, it's like when Georgia has a damn night game.
I know. It's going to be – I don't remember. I don't remember because I haven't done Wade Ford for a Sunday night game in a while. Yeah. This Sunday is going to be a little different because we're going to wake up at dawn.
Oh, that's right.
In Savannah, because we're going to a concert on Saturday night. We'll get to the hotel, whatever. We're hanging out with friends afterwards. It's, we'll see. We'll see how we
feel. So there's a group of y'all going down there to Savannah.
We've got some friends that live out in Savannah, and they're going to the show too. So we're going to hang out with them. But we got to be back for Lily's first choir performance at church.
Choir.
At 11:15, the Sunshine Singers make their first performance. Well, they've performed, but it's her first time performing with them at 11:15. And so I don't know. What's it take to get from Savannah to Smyrna? Four hours?
Probably.
About 4 hours. So we got to make sure we're leaving Savannah by about 6:30 just to be safe.
Yeah.
6:30 just to be safe. So we roll back in. We go to that, which would be awesome.
Y'all coming straight from the spot to the spot.
I don't know. We got to look nice, right? You got to. That's why I want to leave at 5.
Okay.
And she's like, we don't have to leave till 7. I was like, let's not push it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
We don't want to miss it. First of all, we also want to look okay.
Right.
You know, after a long night. Anyway, so we'll get home and get ready and then go. And then that'll be done by, 12:30 or whatever time church is over. And then.
Yeah, because, the church you go to, you get in.
Yeah,
you get in and get out.
He gets us in and
out. Yeah.
Well, and also, he's got three every Sunday morning, and the 11:15 is the final one. So he's kind of, he's got his bullet points at that point. Yeah. He's got it locked in.
You know what I'm talking about.
So we'll be home by 12:30 or whatever, have some lunch, and then, then I've got to come back here by 4 to do the show with Joe from 4 to 6. Then Falcons Radio Network pregame show from 6 to 8. Kickoff's not till 8:15. It's a long Sunday.
Yeah, man.
It's a long Sunday. And I will say this, just given what last Sunday was, 1 o'clock kickoff, ended how it ended, I wouldn't be mad if the Falcons played tomorrow, and I'm sure they feel the same way. Get back out there and try to flush that thing that happened on Sunday. And instead you got to wait all the way till Sunday night to get it out of the way, and you'll be on national TV. And the Vikings had a really nice win in their first game going on the road. And, the stakes are all of a sudden, they're always high because we only get 17 of them in the NFL, but all of a sudden the stakes are even higher than they had to be on week two. So here we are. Getting late early, as it often does in Atlanta Falcons land.
I think it's just one of those just no need to panic type situations, though. I understand, the angst and everything, especially with, some of the expectations that were that were accompanied with this team coming into the 2025 season. And we just talked about how fast it's going. It still is a long season. It is. But yet, like you said, you don't want to get too far behind. I think that's always the thing. You don't never want to have to, dig yourself out of the hole that you create.
Exactly.
Because when you're digging yourself out of the hole, eventually some of that dirt gonna fall back on you. You can get your way in your head, you're poking out, then all of a sudden dirt falls on you. And so, this is important. Like all Sundays, Mondays, and Thursdays is an important one for them. There's no reason why they can't go and win this game. Now, they're going to have to play a lot better, just like every other team. You got to get better from week one to week two. And that's always the biggest thing in the league, in football in general, college, pros. It's like from week one to week two, the improvement, especially when you look at it from the standpoint, you played all these plays, you gassed But your stamina is a little bit better in this game. And then it goes up. And then all of a sudden, by week four, you should be in your peak condition as far as, you know, being able to make it through the season. But, yeah, this is a big one going up there to Minnesota, which is crazy that they play them back-to-back years. And you would thought, yeah, that it would have been like 18 going back to Minnesota, Sunday night game, all those different things. And obviously Michael Penix is the starting quarterback.
Yeah, you got two. I read this morning it's the first time in Sunday Night Football history where the starting quarterbacks have five starts or less combined between the two of them.
Yes.
Never happened before. In Sunday Night Football.
Never happened.
Because Sunday Night Footballs are always the marquee matchups. Yes. You always try to highlight this quarterback or this coach or whatever. Right. And normally there's a little bit more establishment. Not in this one.
Nope.
Now, they'll probably play up the fact that the two quarterbacks have history. Obviously, yep. They played against one another in the national championship game.
You can see all those pregame stories of Maria.
Because what else is there?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like, I mean, you're absolutely correct.
The Kirk Cousins stuff is over.
Yes.
Like, that storyline last year was told and retold and blah, blah, blah. Like, that, he's not playing.
No.
So, I mean, that's not even a part of it.
No.
So, I mean, that's the tie there, you know? I don't know. I'm sure there's other threads that they can weave between these two teams, not the least of which they played last year. That was, you know, part of the slide that the Falcons went on. That's the interesting thing about that dig in a hole, because last year they didn't. Last year they got off to a really nice start.
Right.
They kind of did the opposite. This year kind of gets us back, or it's on the verge of, hopefully not, getting us back into that same conversation we've had in years past of, man, like, it would be really nice if you could have found a way to get one of those first couple.
Right.
As opposed to sitting here at 0-2 and then having to go through the stats of what 0-2 teams do and how hard it is to make the playoffs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We're very familiar with it.
Yeah.
Because we've been there.
Yeah.
We've lived in that neighborhood many, many times. You got to avoid doing that, man. That's a tough hole to dig yourself out of early when you lose the first two and after all the expectation and conversation and all that kind of stuff. So don't do it. But you got to go on the road and beat a pretty good team in order to avoid it.
Exactly. And we knew that, you know, this is going to probably, you know, be a tough stretch for them, knowing who their opponents they were. That's why last week, just like every week, is so valuable, especially when you're at home, to try and get that leg up, considering what you got to go through the next week and then who you got coming in the following week. And so, you know, you were just hoping that you were able to get off to a good start. Obviously, you were not. You're 0-1. And you want to, you know, try and come back in here on Monday when we have our show Monday morning, is that you want to be 1-1 and by any means necessary. Now, the Minnesota Vikings, we know what their record was last year, 14-2.
Yep.
You know, their quarterback is not there, but a lot of their players are still there.
Yeah.
You know,
I also think you and I were kind of on the same page as far as
it was a tricky 14 and
but 3.
But Minnesota's been like that. Like, even with Kurt, remember that year they went 13-3? This is a tricky one.
Well, that's what I was going to say was, you know, obviously Sam Darnold had his best year last year, but to me, the system does that for guys.
Agreed.
You know, for Kirk to do 14-3 there, and then they still had an okay year with when Kirk got hurt and they were juggling different quarterbacks, and then Darnold last year 14-3, and then even Sunday, like, was it or was that Monday? Monday, even Monday, when they were playing terrible in the first half and they got it figured out, and JJ McCarthy played better in the second, and they had that nice comeback and ended up winning. Like, I don't know, you know, maybe Shanahan, maybe McVay. It's a short list of coaches that I trust, along with Kevin O'Connell, to get right with quarterbacks.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I mean, he's done it with more different guys over the last handful of years than anybody has.
Yeah, man, he's a hell of a coordinator, right? A hell of a head coach, I should say. And I think, you know, the biggest thing is that, you know, the team around this young quarterback is really good.
They have a lot of talent.
They got a lot of talent. And we know that, you know, defensively, and we'll talk more and more, have Dave on in 11:40, just the ins and outs and the complication of what they like to do in disguise with their pressures and things like that.
Yep.
Brian Flo is really good. They're notorious for that. And he has the players to run it.
Yep.
And that's the biggest thing. And then, you know, they were without their captain this past week because Smith was out.
Yeah, Harrison Smith was sick,
yeah,
right?
He was sick, so he was out. So, I'm assuming that he'll be back for this game. But, I mean, they got pass rushers. They got, I mean, linebackers.
I forgot they got Jonathan Allen.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean they're really good, man. They got a nice team, and then, like, of course, you know, they got the head coach who is just a phenomenal, and it's a damn home opener.
Mm-hmm.
It's a home opener, and if you never played in Minnesota, I never played in this stadium, but I played in the old. That fan base is rabid, man, and so it's gonna be hostile when we talk about the Falcons going in there on a Sunday night.
I wonder how much, because you know we love talking about the matchup that the defense is going to throw at the young quarterback. Obviously, we spent a lot of time talking about that with Todd Bowles and that defense in Tampa in week one. And I think, you know, as much as maybe you'd hope to see some more down the field stuff with Penix and that elite deep ball that he has, I thought Penix played pretty good against that pressure.
I did too.
He handled the blitzes that they threw at him. When he identified that they were coming quick, he was able to get the ball out of his hands. He did only take one sack, whereas, you know, against that defense, there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks that do worse than that. But now you've got Brian Flores that has that tape, right? So you went into that game. They had three games last year, but it's different.
Yeah.
It's different this year. Now you got that first week of, all right, Penix did well with this. Let's try to disguise it like this to trick him like this.
Yes.
They also now have the tape of what was going on the right side, so they can look at that a little bit more and try to attack it. I'm definitely interested to see, and this is the chess match of every Sunday in the NFL, I'm definitely interested to see Penix, Zach Robinson, and the offensive game plan versus what Minnesota is going to have and try to throw at him, try to trick him. Like you said, they love to disguise stuff. They try to make you uncomfortable. Obviously, he's a rookie quarterback. That's getting into keys to the game on Wednesday, but I'm excited about it.
Yeah, but I think the one thing about Michael, he's not going to have the misses that Caleb Williams had.
Right.
I don't think he's going to miss out on, so because there were some big plays that
were
out there for Chicago that Caleb just didn't pull the trigger on, or he just flat out missed. I don't think Michael Penix is going to do that. I'm assuming sometime they will get some kind of injury report on certain guys. As far as Moody and where Drake is with his shoulder and things like that.
Yeah, we'll probably find out today.
But I don't think that Michael's going to miss those throws that Caleb missed. Caleb missed a lot of throws. I also don't think J.J. McCarthy is going to play a whole game like he played that last 8 minutes of the game.
I don't either.
I think it'd be a little up and down like it was, because he's still second damn start.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be as bad as it was in the first quarter
probably
and a half
not,
either.
Probably not.
But I hope it is. That'd be great.
Yeah, no doubt
if
about
the Falcons
it.
Defense can make him look like that, great. But yeah, you're right. If the extremes probably won't be quite as extreme for him on Sunday, maybe a little bit more in the middle, which is fine. I think you can weather that if he's in the middle.
Oh, no doubt about it. Yeah, as long as it's not one of the things where, you know, you get to a point where you make this kid look like an all-world player early. Because the one thing about young players, they get confidence early, man. Especially when you're at home and it's grooving and all those different things, it's hard to get them up out of there, especially when you have a defense like theirs that's attacking and keep getting him possessions. Like, he didn't have a great game. Justin Jefferson didn't have a great game.
No.
But Justin Jefferson's great.
He had a good quarter.
Yes, but he's great.
He is great.
You know?
That's the thing, yeah.
That's the thing about it. He's great.
It's just also, this is what we said last year, because remember going into the game last year, Justin Jefferson was on some weird streak of hadn't done this in a while or something like that. Yeah. I was like, well, that sucks.
That sucks.
Because that means he's due.
Yep.
You know, now this is week two, so it's different. Yes. But great players are just 1 week away
from
making you look real bad.
Yes.
And that's what happened last year. Justin Jefferson had a great game last year.
Like, dude, there's no gritty. No gritty this week.
Gotta try to. That's key
no
number one.
No gritty this week.
Keep the gritty away.
Yeah, no gritty. No gritty this week.
No, no gritty. Just be gritty with a T.
I like that. Gritty.
Be gritty.
Gritty.
So they can't do the gritty.
Ah, be great.
That's my key.
There it is.
On Wednesday.
Oh, look at you up there. Look at you.
Bars.
DJ such and such of bars.
Bars. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to what's trending here on a hump day. Dave Archer, like Randy said, going to join us at 11:40 as he always does. First hour of the show brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before.
Right. Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
I won't be able to confirm anything until Wednesday for those guys on what's happening as far as practice and how they're going to go. But Drake is a tough human. I feel good about it after talking to him. I just want to, you know, get some clarity and all that type of stuff before I enter the lead, because he's going to hold it to me. Feel good about Mooney. We'll see more. He did warm up. He's been doing a lot of things that you guys have seen. So, like, that's just when I get a chance to sit down with all the guys and discuss it, our performance team, that happens tomorrow, and see where we're at there. We definitely got to do it tomorrow so we can get our planning going. So we'll see. I'll have more clarity tomorrow on that.
Performance team.
I'm trying to get
training staff, probably.
That's what I'm asking. Is it a difference between those two?
Cooler name.
I know it is. But yeah, I'm like performance staff, then you got the training staff.
Uh-huh.
Are they the same, entwined? All right.
Well, I bet also on the performance team, there's probably some sports scientists.
Yes.
As well?
Those people are the worst.
Like, you know, you come in with one of those white lab coats.
Yeah. Those are the worst.
Like, you're mixing up
beakers
and stuff.
They're like, dude, I don't want to take that. It's like, I'm telling you, it helps with recovery. No, you know what helps with recovery? That liquor right now. Your ass out my face, man. Well, give me another damn shot. God, that used to be the worst. Don't force me.
Here's some wheatgrass juice.
Don't force me to drink this. I don't want to drink it.
Yeah, I don't want it.
Yeah.
Let me get in the cold tub.
And then get up my
beer. A couple shots.
Yeah, man. You know it's it was always on like Friday afternoons. There's nothing better than being in the cold tub with a cold ass beer.
Oh God, I bet.
Dude, cold tub and cold beers.
Yeah.
Oh, with a slice of pizza.
That sounds awesome,
dude. Friday in St. Louis.
You know what's funny about the cold tub? Like that's just a cold plunge, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
But now everybody's talking about it like it's this weird, like new discovered technology or something.
Oh yeah.
Football players have been getting in the cold tub
forever, for years. We just get when they have tubs and then we just getting trash cans full of ice. Like, there's no.
Now people are paying like tens of thousands of dollars to have these like little mini refrigerated cold plunges in their backyards.
Yeah, and like they're doing something
so they can get some cold water and then go be an accountant.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, whatever. Do what you need to do for your own personal health journey and all that. Dude. I'm not trying to hate on that, but. It's not new.
No.
That's all I'm saying.
No.
That's all I'm saying. Nothing under the sun.
I tell you, it's about like how you got to tell young folks. I mean, women been bad before. Instagram. If I'm an Instagram partner.
And there didn't used to be filters.
Yeah, they didn't want no filters. Like they were fine.
They just looked like
that. Hell yeah. Wasn't no thing.
So that was Raheem Morris talking about a couple of the wide receivers. Good news, Drake London is a tough human.
Yes.
No further news, though, as far as his availability, and I wouldn't expect there to be. We'll find out their availability for practice today.
Yeah.
I don't know. For Mooney, that won't tell us much.
No.
Because last week he was able to do some stuff, and then it was a game time decision, and he couldn't go. You'd have to assume he's closer
it's
to being
shoulder,
able to
right?
go this week.
It's a shoulder.
It's a shoulder.
Okay. Make sure.
We don't know what.
Okay.
Because I asked Joe that exact thing on Sunday on Wade Ford. I was like, hey, by the way, do you know any details? He's like, no.
Okay. It's a shoulder.
He hurt his shoulder.
Okay.
We don't
You think, he went out like the first period of training camp.
Yes.
And that's why I was like.
And that was like July.
I'm like, did he have like, 28th. And I don't want to speculate or anything. Did he have surgery or what? I don't know.
No, I think those are fair questions.
Yeah, just curious.
Totally fair questions, which we don't know the answer to. All we know is if it was something that they thought was going to be longer than September, they would have put him on that designated to return IR, right? Like Braylon Trice. So you didn't have to use a spot for him. They expect him to be back, and hopefully it'll be Sunday, and hopefully Drake London will too again. We'll find out more about those guys' health and how much they can participate in practice today. Dave Archer is going to join us in about 15 minutes. Obviously, we'll ask him about those guys' health. I would assume Arch won't know either, but then we can just ask him about, like, all right, say they can't go.
Yeah.
How do you figure that out in the offense and get his thoughts on what happened Sunday against Tampa and start spinning it forward to Monday, too?
You gotta run
That's
football,
the bottom
man.
Line.
You got to run the football.
That's about, that. You had Drake London for 59 and a half minutes.
Yep, you got to run the football, man.
Against Tampa, and you still only had 40 rushing yards with your running backs. So that's the key. I mean, if these – and it'll be better than that because it – it can get better, right?
Yes.
We don't say it can't get worse anymore.
No.
It can get better.
Yes.
But if the run game isn't something that you can lean on, it's going to be tough.
You gotta
it's
going to
be really tough
game.
For the offense. All right. That also is going to be true on Saturday in Knoxville when Georgia takes on Tennessee. Really, really fun one. We'll spend a bit more time today at 12:20 talking about that and some of the other big games this weekend. Obviously, as the week goes on, we'll be able to dive deeper into the Georgia and Tennessee matchup. But here's Kirby Smart talking about Tennessee's quarterback.
Went really efficiently. He's got great arm talent. He's a really good athlete. You can tell he understands the system. He gets the ball out quickly. He's been very accurate. You know, he's had some really well-thrown balls, a couple that they've dropped in crucial times. But he makes some good throws.
Yeah, I mean, it's we mentioned it yesterday, and I do truly believe this is Heupel's best chance he's got to beat Georgia since he's been there.
Yeah.
You know,
let me ask you, because you said this yesterday, but let me dig a little deeper into that. Is that – this isn't Tennessee's best team he's had.
No.
Right?
No, no.
That's
no.
more about Georgia kind of where they're at
yes,
right now.
No doubt about it, man. And I think, you know, when you look at where Tennessee – what Georgia is, the inconsistency that they've had on offense – mainly throwing the football. My man Joe Klatt was talking yesterday about listening to a little bit of him talking about Georgia. Like, they threw the ball 34 times against Austin Peay and scored 28 points. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you throwing the ball? I'm not afraid to say, I think if Tennessee threw the ball against Austin Peay 34 times, they put up 50 points.
Probably.
Yeah, but I know there was the delay and there was so much stuff going on with it. He's got, and I'm talking about Gunnar Stockton, Gunnar's got to make plays. He's got to make plays. You can't hide him in this game. And you never hid a quarterback before. Like, I mean, you didn't hide Carson in big games. You didn't. Damn, you weren't going to hide Stetson.
He wouldn't let you.
He wouldn't let you. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Stetson like, was going to make some throws
some plays. He's got
to. Even back to Fromm. Like, yeah. you would let him throw it a little bit.
He's got
to
make some plays. He's got to have to throw the football. I can see this game being a game like Texas-Ohio State. I think this is going to be a defensive battle because I think Georgia's defense is legit.
And I think Tennessee's
is
too.
Theirs is legit. And so when you go back and forth to that with these two young quarterbacks, again, Aguilar's playing really good. Really good. But he'll give it to you.
Yeah.
He'll give it to you.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
I think Georgia's secondary is second than anybody in the country. These dudes can get after you on the secondary. They got pass rushes now. Can they find a way to take the ball away? Get them some extra possessions. And, I mean, if Georgia can't run the ball, it's going to be a long damn night. It's going to be a long damn afternoon.
That's the bottom line.
It's going to be a long
line.
Damn afternoon if Georgia can't run the ball.
That's the bottom line. They have to be able to establish the ability to run the football behind that offensive line and then play off of that. We understand. I think, because we still don't really know what a Gunnar Stockton-led offense looks like
right.
in a real game where he's prepared and all. You know what I mean? Because we haven't had it yet. Pretty sure that's the backbone of what the offense wants to be, and then you sort of play off that with Gunnar. Here's the thing about Joey Aguilar is he is very accurate, and he's looked really good in the first couple of games for Tennessee for sure. When he does make turnover mistakes, it's not an accuracy issue. It's a decision-making issue.
Right.
Like, when he would make turnovers at Appalachian State, it was when he was trying to do too much. Like, keep a play alive or fit a ball someplace that didn't need to try to be fit or something like that. So, if Georgia can make him uncomfortable and heat him up, then he'll make mistakes.
Yeah.
But if he's allowed to be comfortable,
yeah.
he can dissect.
He can get you. So, I anticipate Kirby doing that.
Yeah,
pressure and all of them. You got to do that. And, you know, but more importantly, Georgia's got to run the ball. They got to be able to run the ball. They got to be able to protect when they're not running the football. And when the play is there, they got to make it. You got to make it. And Gunnar, because the thing with Bobo's going to have shots,
mm-hmm.
but you got to take it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't hesitate.
Yeah.
You got to let it go.
Yeah, I look forward to getting deeper into this at 12:20 and throughout the week as well, just sort of the mindset or like kind of what you have to do to your mind to be able to really analyze this game, knowing next to nothing about this year's Georgia team because of what they did in the first couple of games. So we'll get into that as the show goes on. Also, another really big matchup. I mean, two of the four or five biggest games of the weekend, Georgia and then also Georgia Tech at home against Clemson at noon. By all accounts, I know Brent Key didn't say much of anything in his press conference, but one thing that he did say is that the quarterback's healthy.
Yes.
Or that he should.
No.
That he'll play.
The quarterback will play.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Healthy. Same difference.
No,
not really.
No, he's going to play. He's going to play.
Yeah.
He's going to play. And, you know, you're catching Clemson that's been really inconsistent. They really have, especially on offense. But, I mean, I think that the battle is going to be because Clemson's going to – I mean, you're just not going to be the – I'm not going to say that because Brent Key and that team, they are who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they are a physical football team that wants to come straight at you. They like to go east-west with the run game just so they can, you know, get you loose and then run, go straight at you. And so – but Haynes King's got to play like Haynes King. He can't play with any limitations. And the thing with Clemson is that they're not going to back down from that physical. I just look at it from the standpoint, what's Georgia Tech going to do with Cape Klubnik? Because he has not been the guy who a lot of us have thought he would probably be.
Yeah, that's right.
But he is a guy that other people thought he was. He's all right. You know, but then, you know, you come in there, and I saw what Dabble said, which was, he could be right about that. The team has not done a good job of handling the early on expectations of what a lot of people, myself included, thought Clemson was. But, I think this is going to be a slobber knocker.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I think it's going to be a slobber knocker because Georgia Tech's not going to go away from who they are.
I think both those games are.
Yeah.
Like, which one of those games do you think is higher scoring? Clemson, Georgia Tech, or Tennessee, Georgia?
Probably Clemson, Georgia Tech.
That's crazy.
Probably Clemson, Georgia.
That's crazy to say, but I agree with you.
Yeah.
Because I think Georgia to Tennessee might be 20 to 13.
Somewhere in that area.
You know? Yeah. Over under 50.
Yeah. I can say
fire.
Take the under.
Fire on the
under. Fire that under. Hey, this Saturday at noon to join our guy, Allie Mack and Lou Sobe, Kia and Noonan, as she gets you ready for the Sunday's big game. One lucky fan will win the ultimate tailgate kit, a 50-inch 4K smart TV with the rolling stand and other prizes, plus another one that takes home tickets to an upcoming home game. Again, that's Saturday at from noon to 2 at Lou Sobe Kia in Noonan with iGal Allie Mack.
All right, this hour brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll come back and Dave Archer will join us. We'll talk about the past Sunday, talk about the upcoming Sunday. Lots of Falcons to get into next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, Dave Archer is one of the toughest people I've ever met.
Yeah.
He had to be tough. We've seen the highlights of that Chicago Bears game.
Yeah.
I don't think Dave listened to this song right here, though.
I don't think Dave listened to this. A band can have layers.
I don't think Dave listened to this one, though. I don't think so.
There's nothing wrong with a ballad. Time every once in a while, right, Arch?
I was wrapped in bandages after that 85 Bear game. You know, we all kind of got put in the bus like we looked like mummies after getting beat 38 to nothing by the Bears in 1985.
I mean, they did that in the Brutal. Super Bowl. So yes. They were doing that.
They did it to everybody.
That's wild.
Dave, I got a question real quick because going back to that game, when you were under center and you looked to your, I was looking to your immediate right, there's Richard Dent and then there's Mike Singletary. Did you ever make eye contact with Mike and then that face that he used to make?
I tried not to look at him. I felt like I would turn into Medusa. He was like Medusa. You turn to stone or something like that, or he'd come and just blow you up. Now, it was hard to look anywhere, Randy, in that deal. You had Dent out one side. You look the other way, and Wilbur Marshall and Otis Wilson are breathing fire on the other side, lined up side by side. You look over the center, it's William Refrigerator Perry, and you got Dan Hampton and Steve McMichael in the middle, and then, of course, there's Wild Eyes, Mike Singletary standing behind him. Then they got weaker in the secondary by having Dave Durison, Gary Fensick, and Leslie Frazier back there. Dude, it was unbelievable. that group, it's one of those only teams I can go back and I can name every guy at every starting position.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you just did. That was really good. I'm not saying Vita Vea was doing that, but Vita Vea was playing some pretty good football, pretty good defense on Sunday for Tampa. When you go back and look at what the Falcons' run game was unable to do, is that the biggest reason why, or is it more of a Falcons issue?
No, I think they got out physical in the game. I don't think there's any question about that. And it wasn't just Vita Vea. I thought that Logan Hall did a good job. Greg Gaines, who comes in, is a big guy. Kalijah Kancey, who's not the biggest guy in the world, does a good job of knifing in gaps and creating problems. I thought Hassan Reddick's ability to come off the edge, Yaya Diaby, and you put all those guys together. I just think that they outplayed Atlanta up front from a physicality standpoint. I think they got after him a little bit in the pass game, too. Give Michael Penix credit for getting out of the pocket a couple times and also getting the ball off on time. He stood in and ate a couple of helmets to get the ball out to make some throws. So I would expect that group to be exponentially better in this game. Now, Randy will tell you, there's no group that takes more offense to being kind of a run-oriented team, which we kind of came into the game as thinking we were, and to be stoned like that in the run game. You can bet Dwayne Ledford and all those guys, Matthews, all those guys. Those guys are irritated beyond belief. They can't wait to get back on the field.
What do you think about the young quarterback, Dave? I mean, he played well. I thought he handled the blitz really well. Like you said, he was making throws under pressure, and then obviously the rushing touchdown and things like that made throws where I'm like, if another guy's in there, does he get to that? So, what's your assessment of Mike?
Yeah, I would agree with you, Randy. I mean, you know, there's not a lot you can take away that you didn't like about what he did. I mean, there's obviously going to be a throw or two here or there that he would love to have back, but he didn't put the ball in harm's way. You go back and look at Baker Mayfield's, you could probably point to three passes that should have been picked off that Mayfield threw. Mm-hmm. I don't remember seeing anything like that from Penix. He had a couple tipped at the line of scrimmage, but nothing necessarily fell in and was going to be picked off. But he did a good job of doing that. And as you said, he stood in there, took some shots, got out of the pocket, extend drives. I love the way Zach Robinson opened it up. We're going to go empty the first play of the game. He hits Bijan for a 10-yard play, and then two plays later, mm-hmm. he blows the roof off the stadium by hitting that check down. After reading, he had a deep shot on that third play, didn't like it, came off, got the ball to Bijan, and there's nothing wrong with getting number 7 the ball in open space.
Dave Archer joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking some Falcons, reacting to the first game, week one against Tampa, and we'll look ahead to the Vikings game coming up in a minute as well. Some injuries to the wide receiving core. Obviously, Mooney couldn't go Sunday. Drake gets banged up at the end. Kind of a two-parter here. Do you know anything about those guys' availability for this weekend? And then if they can't go, what does it look like as far as the pass game?
Yeah, nothing official, Andy, as far as being able to give you something there. Obviously, Raheem will step to the podium here later on this afternoon and give you an injury report on guys. It would not surprise me to see Drake held out of practice today. He's a tough guy. You guys know that. And I think the diagnosis on him is one that they feel like that he potentially could play. And again, that's not coming from any inside the Falcons. I just knowing Drake, now how tough he is and wanting to be on the field. I think the time frame is probably about right for Mooney to be ready to go too. So I told Duke Sabel yesterday, and I'll stick with it. I'm going to be surprised if both those guys don't line up this weekend. If they aren't able to play, then it elevates David Sills. He'll come in. He's got kind of the same body size as a Drake London. I mean, not quite as tall, but kind of the same catch radius, similar type player. Casey Washington, I thought, stepped up, did a pretty good job, and it means Ray Ray and some of these other guys are going to have – Kadarryl Hodge are going to have to play at a higher level, maybe even see an elevation of a Chris Blair who played real well in the preseason. But right now I'm kind of holding out hope, and again, it's just me, but I think Mooney and London will play.
What about Kyle? I thought they did a good job, Dave, of just, you know, not letting when he was in protection be a dead route. I think he got in the flat. I think he ran a crosser one time. But what did you think of how Kyle played?
Well, that's the thing that was good about him, Randy, and you and I have talked about this before. He had over the first few years of his career, other than the first year, he had a kind of a tendency to disengage.
Right.
And where he wasn't really kind of mentally into the game. I thought he stayed in the game throughout the game. He made one mistake. They had a deep over route against pressure. He, for some reason, got a little confused of whether he should keep running or shutting it down. Penix had him running with the running. If he kept running, it was going to be a huge play.
You saw Michael stopped. After that play telling him on the TV copy, you saw him point to that, what you're talking about.
Yeah, keep going because there was no reason for him to stop. There was no zone to hook up in. So a little confusion there. But other than that, I thought that the engagement of him being in the game, because he didn't get the ball early. He had to become a factor late, especially when Drake couldn't come back from the shoulder. I thought he was a huge factor in those last couple of drives. So I think that bodes well for you that he was able to stay in contact, and he and Penix are talking to each other on the sidelines. They've got a really good rapport. I know you guys have talked to those two guys about what they did in the offseason to kind of blend their rapport a little bit together. And so I think he's heavily engaged this year.
I know a guy that we talked about because he was a free agent acquisition during the offseason, but definitely didn't talk about as much as we talked about the draft picks or Leonard Floyd, the signing, was Devon Diablo. Devon Diablo played great on Sunday. Were you surprised to see him able to do all? I know that there had been some conversation about what he was able to do, but just talk about what you saw from him in that game.
Well, saw it, Andy, in practice. I mean, of course, we played them in December out in Vegas, and he had a pretty good game against us. I think 6 or 7, maybe 8 tackles against us in that game, that low-scoring game out there in Vegas, and I thought he was outstanding there. And then to get the thoughts of Jeff Ulbrich and of course, the Jerry Fontenot and those guys, they handpicked him. They went and got him. That's somebody Ulbrich wanted. So when you go out and handpick a guy from a free agent standpoint that fits what you want to do, you hope that it's going to plug in. You saw signs of it in practice with some of the things they were doing getting ready for the Tampa game. Then it came to life against the Buccaneers. I thought he was a problem. I know Bucky Irving's hoping he doesn't see Divine Diablo for a while. He had to pick him up on some blitzes, and he's sure he got his neck shortened about three times trying to pick Diablo up. And I thought he was everywhere. We saw him even in coverage. Remember, he was a safety at Virginia Tech. Mm-hmm. Thought he made a play on a ball, almost picked it off there in the middle of the field, about 15, 20 yards down the field. So a lot of versatility, and I was excited about what he brought to the table.
Dave, what do you think overall of the defense? I know that it was one clear miscommunication on the throw that Baker missed, but what do you think of the overall of the defensive effort?
Yeah, I thought it was really good, Randy. I know there's a lot of people poo-pooing it, and there's some even people on this station that are kind of, oh, where were the rookies? How come they didn't sack the quarterback? I mean, Baker Mayfield, he made two plays, and two of them, and those two plays are plays that you made a mistake in the secondary. I mean, the one you're talking about, Xavier Watts takes too shallow of an angle. He intercepts the pass. He's playing a robber technique, and he rotates into the middle of the field. Baker never saw him, but he took too shallow of an angle and it went over the top of his head. He did the same thing later on and should have picked it off. Remember, he dropped the interception. And then the next time, and I heard Baker talking about it, he said they knew that Bates had the kind of that thing that he likes to jump, that inside breaking route. And so they timed it up perfectly. Give them credit for calling the play at the perfect time. They had called it earlier in the game. Jesse'd stayed back, but they ran Evans inside on that little dig route from the slot. Bates jumped it and he threw it over the top to an outside technique corner, and Hughes, he couldn't get there to Abuka. Those are the only two plays they made mistakes on. They flushed him out of the pocket. They hit him. You allowed 260 yards of total offense. This was a team that was fourth in the National Football League or third in the National Football League in offense. They were only 300 yards. They were only under 300 yards three times last year. I mean, this was a really solid defensive performance. They ran for 160 yards in this game last year. And they had 62 yards. You take Baker's scrambles away, and now you can't, and that's something they have to fix. You got to pick the ball off when you have a chance. Caden Ellis had a chance to pick a ball off in the right flat, didn't do it, and Xavier Watts had an opportunity down in the deep red zone to pick one off that would have afforded a field goal, I think. If he makes that interception, you take points off the board. Got to make those plays. And then this week, obviously against J.J. McCarthy, which I know you guys are going to get to, they need to keep him from getting out because he found a little life in the fourth quarter against the Bears moving around.
I'm assuming coming out of because we got Joe Patrick and guys tweeting about it, Dave. He said he expects both wide receivers, Drake London and Darryl Moody, to play on Sunday.
How about that? Yeah. How about that?
Just you know, like Art said.
I just went and saw the seer. You know, you go to that show, the Vikings, and you go to that guy that doesn't have any eyes, and he's got the seer. Yeah, there you go.
That's good. We got seers. We got Medusa references.
It's
good.
It's all around. all around.
I hope, Arch, that this is the last time we ask you about this year, and I hope that we spend less time for the rest of the year talking about this than we have this week already, and that's the kicking position. Look, obviously they signed a guy yesterday. We understand why. Who do you think will be kicking on Sunday?
Andy, I don't like kickers. The only kicker I like is Kevin Butler. Butler was on with Steak earlier. I played golf with Kevin. I love Kevin Butler. But the rest of the kickers, you can have them. You don't even wash their uniforms. Why do we talk about kickers, okay? All right. So anyway, the kicking thing, I agree with you. But this is something you've got to fix, Andy. 12 of the 16 games this last weekend were one-score games. Raheem Morris has coached as a head coach here in Atlanta 18 games. 13 of the 18 games have been one-score games. Mm-hmm. You have to make your kicks when you have an opportunity. Atlanta's only won 6 of those 13 games. Got to get that fixed if you want to be a playoff team.
Yeah, no, that's great. I always love Arch gives us those every week, like one or two of those little stats. Yes. And I think to myself, I can't wait to repeat that for the next 3 days. Because that's what I'm going to do.
Take it like it's yours. Yeah. That's all. You own that one.
Yeah,
that's yours.
I found this stat myself. Yes. I'm so smart. Arch, we appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Dave.
Always great talking to you guys. Yeah, take care.
Dave Archer there, Falcons Radio Network analyst. Obviously, he's up there. He's going to be talking to Coach and everybody getting ready for the broadcast on Sunday. But like you mentioned, Raheem Morris, optimistic about the receiver.
Yeah, but that's why, you know, when we were talking on Monday about after the game, and I was like, yeah, just the communication, the back end, it just seemed like it was off. And those are the two plays that we were talking about. And Dave, basically, I mean, when you are a guy like Jesse, he don't make a lot of mistakes, But when you catch him in that, and it wasn't necessarily a mistake. It was more or less it's a dig. And whenever you run a dig, you always run a big eight behind it. I was always this dig runner, and there was always a big eight. And when you got an outside leverage corner, you have no shot, especially if the ball is thrown the way Baker threw that damn ball.
It was a perfect throw. Because, I mean, that thing almost hit the crossbar.
Yes, it was
obviously Abuka went up and got it.
It was a perfect throw, perfect play call for that position. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad. Obviously, you want to have all your good players out there. Mm-hmm. And so having Moody back with this offense, we understand what he brings to the table. He's more – he can stretch the field a lot more, you know, better than Drake. But not saying that Drake is slow or anything, but having him back and having your speed guy and your possession guy like a Drake, throwing Kyle Pitts, seeing if he can improve. I think that was a great point that Arch made about the engagement of Kyle. You know, because I've said this before, it's easy to get in when you're not, especially when you're coming into the season, coming off of a camp like he had, where he's getting the rock and everything like that. And I promise you, in that first 15 plays that were scripted, I bet he had four. I bet he had four of them.
And I don't know that he got any in the first 15, did he? Yeah.
No.
So that's a credit to Kyle, too. Kind of expectation, but something we've seen in the past pop up. Like, he didn't get the ball. I was like mid-second quarter.
I was like, damn, can he get one?
And then he got one and kind of got rolling a little bit. So, yeah, that was good, too. Thanks again to Arch. Always love catching up with him. A lot of great thoughts about what the Falcons need to clean up from Sunday to Sunday. And hopefully they do against the Vikings coming up here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We will come back and get to an NFL no huddle. Jalen Carter, time served. Time served. He's good. We'll get to that and all of the other stories from the National Football League after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.